grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the 15th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, verses 8 through 11 and verse 15. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he was wont to do for them. And he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Having meditated on St. Mark's account of our Lord's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, his trial before the high priest and his council, and having meditated on Peter's denial of his Lord, we come this evening to St. Mark's account of Jesus' trial before Pilate. Little did Pilate know on that first Good Friday morning that he would be remembered. Remembered down through all the ages, remembered Sunday after Sunday, day after day, through all the years to come, as Christians would confess their faith in the words of the Creed, remembered as the one who ordered the execution of God come in the flesh. The name of Pilate in the Creed firmly locates the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord in known history. The world has indeed known many myths of miraculous births and of dying and rising gods. But none of these myths are located in history, but are only fabricated stories happening at no particular time. Not so the virgin-born Son of God who suffered under Pontius Pilate. In his gospel, St. Luke is very eager to locate the birth of the Messiah very precisely in history. He locates Jesus' birth during the reign of Caesar Augustus and of King Herod, and St. Luke begins his narrative of Jesus' public ministry by saying, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, the name of Pilate in the Creed bears witness to the truth of the Incarnation, that at a specific place and at a particular time in history, the Father's eternal Son truly entered into history to save us. And having entered into the history of this world at a specific time and place, the incarnate Son of God experienced this fallen world in all its misery throughout his earthly ministry and especially in his passion. As we have meditated on our Savior's passion, we have seen how he experienced the bitterness of Judas's treachery and betrayal of his Lord, his abandonment by all his disciples in his hour of greatest need, His rejection as Simon Peter lied, denying ever having known him. And now, having been condemned by the high priest and his counselor as a blasphemer, as one therefore cursed by God, he's brought before the Roman governor. St. Mark tells us that Pilate realized that it was out of envy of Jesus' influence with the people that they brought him before him. Yes, in all of this, we see this fallen world in all its misery. We see treachery, betrayal, abandonment of one loved. We see lies, and we see envy. We see the sinful human heart in all its ugliness, just as the Lord Jesus himself once had said, "From within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." In our Lord's trial before Pilate, we also see the sin of doing what is expedient rather than what is just and right and good. To be sure, Pilate was faced with a thankless task as he tried to govern a very turbulent backwater province of the Roman Empire. He happened to be in Jerusalem because it was the feast of the Passover, when countless Jewish pilgrims would swell the population of that city exponentially. And then there'd been that entrance of Jesus into the city, an entrance accompanied by messianic fervor, and what first century Israelites expected of their Messiah was well known to Pilate. That the Messiah would overthrow their oppressors and become their king. Dangerous stuff for Roman officials just wanting to keep the peace. And now the Jewish leaders have brought this Jesus to him to be tried, condemned, and crucified. Having questioned Jesus, Pilate realizes that Jesus is in fact innocent, and so tries to save him by the ploy of offering to release another prisoner, as was the custom at the feast. And so he offers them Barabbas, who, St. Mark tells us, had been imprisoned for participating in an insurrection. The irony of the situation is that Barabbas was in fact guilty of the charges they brought against Jesus. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead of Jesus. So what was poor Pilate to do? St. Mark tells us that having tried in vain to save Jesus, Pilate finally gives in order to satisfy not the demands of justice, but to satisfy the crowd. And so Pilate ends up doing not what is just and right and good, but what at that moment seems to be the expedient thing to do. And so he has Jesus scourged and hands him over to be crucified. How often this scene has been enacted through all the long centuries of our lost and fallen race. Expediency prevailing over what is just and right and good. How much damage has been done. How vast an ocean of tears has flowed down to this very day. But because the Lord God Almighty, who governs all things, is the God who brings good out of evil, this miscarriage of justice, this execution of the innocent Son of the Father's love, was the salvation of the whole lost and fallen world. The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning the suffering servant of the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. St. Mark tells us that Pilate wondered at the silence of the accused prisoner. He wondered at Jesus' silence. Yet in this too we see the fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken through Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. As we see in our Lord's trial before Pilate, the sin of envy, the sin of doing what is expedient rather than that which is just and right and good. You and I are called to repentance also for these two sins and amendment of life through the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. The mention of Pontius Pilate in the Creed locates in history, in the world of fact and reality, all that God's incarnate Son has done and suffered for your salvation and my salvation, for the salvation of the whole world. Truly, through the Holy Cross, joy has come to all the world. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.